verse 2. John, so good to have you here. God bless you. Thank you for joining us, being our guest today. We're glad you're here. Amen. Glad all of you are here. Amen. Always thankful to have somebody to preach to. We started the church in Ketchikan. It was good to preach to my wife and my three boys. It wasn't long that the boys fell asleep, and my wife was a good audience, saying amen, and praise the Lord, praise God. But it wasn't long, and there were a few more showing up, and then a church being established, praise God, and our son Jeff pastoring there now. Oh, thank the Lord for newborns. Amen. 1 Peter 2 and 2, let's read together. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you had that experience? The Lord is gracious. I'm sure you had some tasty things on the table yesterday. Oh, man. Have to have bigger plates. And if you couldn't fit everything on that plate, you tried to make room and go back for seconds and first on what you were not able to put on your plate. But alas, there's only so much room in that tummy of ours, and so thank God for leftovers. Praise God. Amen. But I want to preach about being newborn. Thank God. I'm glad that there are newborn. Amen. You can be seated. Newborn babes. Now, they have a singular focus. Sleep and eat is their agenda. That sounds like a vacation, doesn't it? Sleep and eat. You know, you think about the songs we sing, thank God we're still able to sing about our Lord and worship Him, the seasonal songs that say so much. And I'm glad for a song like It's All in Him, because that truth is eternal. That truth is 365 days of the year, and we do find all that we need in Him. Praise God. We need protection. He's our protector. We need counsel. He's our counselor. We need provision. He's our provider. Praise God. We need salvation. He's our Savior. We need deliverance. He's our deliverer. It's all in Him. Thank God. And we can put our trust in Him. Thank the Lord. But think of Him as a newborn. We know that we picture the stable, the manger, the animals, the shepherds, the star, you know, all of the pageantry that surrounds the birth of our Lord. And then here comes this drummer boy. How many moms would say, sure, come on in, beat your drum. My baby's asleep, but you can wake him up. I know that's a cute song, and it goes with a little video or film and so on. And if you're going to devote your talents to the Lord, that's good. If you're going to use your gifts for the Lord, then by all means, do so. Amen. But I just can't imagine a mom saying, Start beating on your drum, pa-ra-pa-pa-pum. That'd be all right. But I don't think the stable, the manger, all of that was idyllic or ideal at all. Man, that was rough circumstances. That was a feel sorry for Mary situation. Hopefully, as I said, there was somebody who would realize, we got to make better provision for this new mom and her newborn. I know what it's like to be in an area that's crowded. When we went to my son Jeff's graduation, all of us went there to La Grande, Oregon. It's a college town, a small town, and when there's a graduating class, of course, all the families come, and so we didn't make reservations in advance, and we ended up on one of those little roadside motels, you know, and it was a bed and a bathroom, and that's about it. But when the people in the nicer, you know, 2.5-star motels moved on, we moved out of our half-star accommodations into, but it was crowded. There was no rooms available. And we had to take what was there. And that's the situation with Joseph and Mary. They just had to take what was there. And it wasn't very much, because that newborn was going to show up. And oh my, what an amazing thing. I wonder if he slept like a baby. You ever want to sleep like a baby? Sleep for 2 hours and wake up and cry? Have to get changed. Did Mary have all of the stuff she needed? You know, the diapers, the towels, the all of that. You know, they were poor. And the evidence of that is when they went to the temple, they offered a sacrifice that the Bible allows in Leviticus, you know, just those doves, because they couldn't afford a lamb. They held the lamb, but they couldn't afford one. So that gives you evidence of how meager their resources were. And even if there had been 3-star, 4-star accommodations, they wouldn't have been able to afford it. But now, this newborn. You know, you stop and think how our world deals with what they might consider a pregnancy being inconvenient, and how a newborn is, oh, it's just matter, it's just material, there's nothing there. And the debate, you know, goes back and forth. It's been going on for a long time. And our Supreme Court, pray for our Supreme Court. It's on their docket now. And they're looking at it. They're debating at it. But I'm glad somebody didn't come along to tell Mary, here's an option for you. You know, I know this is awkward. And you know, her family members, did they struggle with that? Did they look at her with a question, you are going to be the mother of the Messiah? And the doubt, and well, thank God that she obeyed the Lord and followed through. You know, the cows that maybe were in the stable, did the innkeeper say, you can have some of the fresh milk? And you know, all of that stuff. Now, this verse that we read said, desire the sincere milk of the word. Amen. A baby, when it's hungry, is going to let everybody know, hey, time to feed me. I'm hungry. You know, they don't appreciate things like a sunrise or a sunset. They don't admire a bouquet of flowers. They don't look hungrily at a mom cooking in the kitchen and smelling those smells of, oh, man, that turkey smells good, that roast smells good, that ham, whatever it is. They don't stand over the table like a vulture and say, I'm going to get some of this, I'm going to get some of that. No, they just open their mouth and start bawling that, time to feed me. And so desiring the sincere milk of the word means to be focused, to be single-minded, to recognize this is what I need, this is what I've got to have, the word of God. Amen. And thank the Lord. He promised, you hunger and thirst, you're going to be filled. Now, directing that hunger and thirsting is important. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. There are a lot of things that the devil is going to try to satisfy you with and try to direct your hunger and your thirst after some things that are going to hurt you, things that are not going to help you, things that are going to hinder you. But the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you would need to satisfy are going to be added to you. Praise God. And if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. Praise God. So, like newborn babes, crave that pure spiritual milk, is how the NIV version renders it, that you may grow up in your salvation. Praise God. Increasing in that. Because the Lord always has more, doesn't he? The Lord always has greater things for you to experience and to devour and to be blessed by. Praise God. The word of the spiritual milk is always nutritious. It's always going to help you. The taste may not be exactly what you want, but you've tasted and you've seen the Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. So just keep on going. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Keep understanding the blessing of the Lord, because the word of God is alive and powerful. And thank God that word brings salvation that is so great. And yet there's more. And that there's always more. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can be a newborn, because Jesus taught about a new birth. He said, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. You've got to, in order to see the kingdom of God, in order to enter the kingdom of God, be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the man he was talking to was a ruler of the Jews. He'd been exposed to Scripture, studied Scripture many times, no doubt had answered others with counsel and with understanding, and he's having a hard time understanding. What? How? What? How can a man be born again? How could he enter into his mother's womb again? He was thinking completely natural. And God help us to understand natural birth needs to be protected as well. And pray that there would be that return to righteousness and that return. I read an article, one of the national newspapers, one of the well-known newspapers commented on some people who were theologians, saying it's just a misunderstanding of one particular verse in the book of Exodus that Christians base their understanding of how sacred life is. What a bunch of hogwash. If they would understand what the Word of God says, if they would understand how great it is that the Lord would bring forth his power and his blessing in understanding what the newborn that God wants to bring into our lives and the blessings that's there and how God would fulfill his word because of prophecy and because of foretelling and because of naming names of the newborn. Oh, that breaks my heart to think that God had something in mind for that individual, and the mother thinks nothing of ending. I better get off of that. That might throw a wet blanket on what I'm trying to preach here today. But thank God that we can be born again, amen, and experience the power of the Lord and his strength and the goodness that he would provide for us, again, because of prophecy talking about a new birth born of the Spirit was done 800 years before it was fulfilled. When Jesus talked about the new birth, he wasn't talking hypothetical. He wasn't talking just some kind of idea that can be tossed around out here. What does it mean? How is it fulfilled? Born of the water is natural birth. Born of the Spirit is when you take your first breath. All of these explanations that are there. No, the Word of God helps us to understand. And the disciples fulfilled it. Born of the water, they understood, was being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, like Shelley was. Amen. born of the Spirit is being filled with the Spirit of God, with the evidence and the sign of speaking in other tongues, because that's what the Lord would choose. 800 years before Acts chapter 2 and the events that are recorded there happen, Joel prophesied, and that's the scripture that Peter referenced. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. And I'm so thankful it includes every one of us. Amen. John the Baptist said, there's one that cometh after me, mightier than I, whose shoe latchets I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That was done 40 months before the event in Acts chapter 2. And thank God, just days before that happened, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. How many weeks before? Just a few. But thank God it came to pass. Thank God it happened. 120 received the Spirit of God, born of the Spirit, and then exploded to 3,000 being born of the water and born of the Spirit. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. There it is again. God, including the next generation, not eliminating, not casting it off as being inconvenient, not saying it's unwanted. No, you and your children, thank God, the Lord would fulfill his promise. And that pattern, once established, was followed again in chapter 8. Of the book of Acts, chapter 10 of the book of Acts, chapter 19 of the book of Acts, chapter 22, Paul makes reference to his experience of being born of the water and of the Spirit. Thank God that the Lord is consistent. The Lord will show forth his plan and his word, and we can receive it and become the new creatures that his word promised. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 lets us know, if any man be in Christ, I'm glad it's open to anybody, any man, any woman, thank God. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, thank God. The Lord opens the way for us to move into that realm, and we are able to understand the blessings of God and keep going. The newness of a baby is exciting. The new clothes, the new furniture, the new schedule, the new responsibilities, all that newness. Thank God we're able to walk into the newness that God has for us. Newborn, amen. And then the growth that comes with it, the amazing miracle of birth, the incredible growth that takes place in a very short span, the acquisition of language. That you know, just physical growth is amazing. But then what's going on between the ears is just amazing how quickly language is learned. And it's just amazing the work that God is able to do, amen. God, help us in the spiritual to have a desire for the Word of God in order to grow thereby. To grow by what? By the sincere milk of the Word. I'm going to grow in that Word. I'm going to be anchored in that Word. I'm going to be established in that Word. The foundation is there. I'm not going to move off the truth of God's Word. I know there's all kinds of ideas and thoughts and philosophies and religion that's being passed around today. But God, help us to stay anchored in the Word of the Lord. Amen. We've tasted. We know the Lord is gracious. We've experienced his touch and his power. And God wants us to continue to move in that realm so that we're able to grow and let those old things pass away. Those old habits, those old problems, those old mistakes, those old memories, let them pass away. Let all things become new. Praise God. A baby's first words. A baby's ability to get up on their hands and knees and then get the motion of crawling. It's always amusing to see how they're trying to get it going. They know that this is the way to go, but they haven't quite got it all together. And then push themselves up on some kind of a chair or item of furniture and stand there longing to take that first step. And then finally the first step. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Thank God for that growth. Thank God for that increase. God, I believe, is excited about you taking your steps of faith, taking your steps of obedience, amen, about growing in him, increasing in him, praise God, and reaching out with the understanding that God is so good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm glad that the psalmist wrote it a long time ago in Psalm 34 and 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, yes. I'm thankful that the power of the Lord is there to do a work that is so good and so powerful and so wonderful. Amen. His word is not grievous. His commands are not grievous, the Bible tells us. None of those who were healed, none of those who were forgiven, none of those who were fed miraculously, none of those who were raised from the dead regretted it and said, oh, I wish it never happened. Oh, what a bummer. Oh, what a difficulty. Oh, what a problem. They didn't have that kind of attitude. They were excited. They were thrilled. Amen. They were blessed beyond measure. Thank God. And no doubt they shared it with one another again and again. Wasn't that something when we sat down on the hillside and the disciples came among us and they broke bread and they gave fish and all of us ate and there were 12 baskets of leftovers? And don't you know that poor widow who had buried her husband in the cemetery and now taking her son to that place saw Jesus stop the funeral procession and raise the young man to life and present him alive to her again? And he meant security. He meant provision. He meant food on the table. And the Lord restored that to her. Don't you know there was a thankfulness? Don't you know there was a thrill? Don't you know when that day came around again, there was a celebration. There was a thrill. Hallelujah. Oh, that God would help us to understand when you were born again, it's something to be excited about. It's something to celebrate. It's something to remember. Remember, it's something to give glory to God for. Hallelujah. Because of his blessing and the reality of what he has done. Amen. Hallelujah. And so 1 John 5 and 3 is good. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Our love for God is going to be demonstrated by keeping his commandments, by obeying him, the sincere milk of the word that we desire, and we grow thereby. Praise God. We don't remain newborn. We're excited about being newborn. We're thankful to be newborn, but we're moving on to the realm that God has for us. So we love God. We keep his commandments, and I love this part of 1 John 5, 3. His commandments are not grievous. They're not going to be downers, you know, like we say. They're not going to be bummers, like we say. They're not going to be difficult. They're not going to be harsh. They're not going to be unkind. No, they're not grievous. They're going to bring happiness. They're going to bring peace. They're going to step into power. They're going to know strength. Thank God. And we demonstrate love for the Lord by obeying his word. Now, Psalm 11 and 6. The context of chapter 11 is a picture of the millennial reign, the 1,000 years of peace that the Lord is going to establish. Man, what an incredible time that's going to be. But here, 11 and 6 says, a little child shall lead them. There again, the Lord putting value on children. Those shepherds coming to see the baby born in Bethlehem. Today is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You'll find him lying in a manger. And oh, man, here they go. Their capes and garments flapping in the breeze as they're making their way to Bethlehem. They want to see, praise God, those kings traveling those thousands of miles. Months on end following that star. Praise God. They had a quest for a little child. Praise God. And I'm thankful that little baby grew to be Jesus Christ, who brings freedom and liberty and peace and strength. Hallelujah. And there is going to be that 1,000 years of peace during Christ's kingdom on earth. It is going to happen because no devil is going to be here. He's going to be shut up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And until that time, we can tell them to shut up. We're not going to believe your lies. We're not going to follow your deceit. We're not going to go along with your plans. Praise God. We've got a better situation. We've got a better life. Hallelujah. We've got better things in the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful we can follow God in faith and be brought up as King's kids. And listen to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, again, we understand he valued those children. He put that child on his lap, and he talked about the humility and the faith and how we need to be like that to be converted. And then he said, "Their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Oh my, there's a lot there. I better not get started on that. But we follow the Lord, and we know his peace. Praise God. And thank the Lord there are parents who are diligent about raising their children with an example. Timothy was told, "You follow the example of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Thank God that there would be that recognition, that Timothy would be pointed in the right direction. Timothy would walk down the right road. Timothy would be encouraged, fight the good fight of faith. Finish your course. Keep going. Don't turn around. Don't give heed to foolish questions and ideas and so on. No, you hold on to the Word of God. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Thank God for that Word of truth that we can grow in, that we can hold to, that we can believe, amen, and know the blessing of the Lord. And keep calling upon our Heavenly Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Praise God. I'm thankful that we can continue on knowing the blessing that the Lord is there to minister to us and provide for us and deliver us from evil, to give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Thank God. Forgive us. Oh, that's a big one. Forgive us and help us to forgive others. Praise God. Lead us. Amen. Not into temptation. God doesn't tempt you. You're tempted in your own flesh, your own desires, and the devil and all of his sneaky garbage. But we move into the realm of growth and understanding. Praise God. Not going to stumble at those things, but we're going to move into the realm of what God has for us. How much more will your Heavenly Father give? The Lord was giving an example. He said, "You fathers, you know how to give good gifts. All of those good gifts you gave yesterday, and the Lord's example, your son asked for bread, you wouldn't give him a stone. You wouldn't give him a snake for a fish, you know, the poisonous one for sure. You wouldn't give a scorpion for an egg." The Lord gave those three examples, and then he went on to say, your Father knows how to give good gifts. And how much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, thank God. And we can ask and receive. Amen. It's not just a long, drawn-out process and so on. No, the Lord pours out his Spirit. Amen. And we are blessed by what he is able to give. And Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom? The whole kingdom? Wow. Herod said he would give half of his kingdom to the little girl that danced in a carnal, fleshly display. But thank God, our God's going to give you the whole kingdom. If you please him, amen, and walk with him and know the blessings that he has in store for you, being faithful to take in his word and grow thereby, taste and see. Amen. The Lord said, come and see. Thank the Lord. There's so many experiences that we can have. A newborn experiences so many things. You know, it's amazing. a little bit strange, maybe, that I usually do the lemon test. But the little child who licks that lemon, you know, has the same expression. Every one of them have the same expression. Without fail. And you can have the same experience too. Praise God. Again and again in the presence of the Lord. Not something sour, not something distasteful, not something, you know, somebody's going to trick you. No. It's God and his goodness. It's God and his power. It's God and his blessing. I've been changed. I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. Thank God. The old things pass away. All things become new. That's what God does for us. That's the blessing he brings forth. What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay in my life. Oh, thank God I've been changed. Hallelujah. Stand with me now, please. Thank the Lord for all that he would minister to us and the blessings that he would bring forth. Praise God. Amen. And the sincere milk of the word that causes growth, the sincere milk of the word that helps us to remember the Lord is gracious. Thank God. The Lord is generous. The Lord is giving. The Lord is good. Oh, how we can go on and describe the blessings of the Lord. That's so much better. The gifts that he gives, the gift of the Holy Ghost after we've repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amazing that there are those who would receive the Holy Ghost because of their faith, because of their hunger, even before they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that happened in Acts chapter 10, but that didn't stop Peter from preaching and saying, you must be baptized. Thank God. He commanded them to be baptized. And oh, thank the Lord for that privilege we've had of experience God. Amen. Why don't we just raise our hands and give thanks to him again here.